Today we're talking about Jesus in his own words, where he said, "I am who I am." Again, Palm Sunday, as Jesus went up to Jerusalem for Passover, right? He came to the Mount of Olives, and he directed two of his disciples to go into a village to find a donkey for him to ride. Now, the reason that Jesus did this, I think, is significant. For one, it was the fulfillment of a prophecy that we find in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. But Jesus comes into Jerusalem on a donkey, not on a charger, not on a steed, not even on his own 2 feet. He comes into Jerusalem on a donkey. Think about that for a second. This is a powerful juxtaposition in that God rode the one animal in all of history that, in my opinion, has probably been the biggest butt of jokes ever. When someone is stubborn, what do we call them? A donkey. When someone's a jerk, they could be called a donkey. Maybe not in those exact terms, but some derivative of a donkey, right? When somebody is simply unkind or unfriendly, they're called the same thing. But here is God in flesh, Jesus Christ, riding on an animal that was simple, humble, lowly, a beast that anyone else would have just probably walked by. But not Jesus. He's entering the city with people shouting his name, crying out for his blessings, singing his praises, and so they continue. Jesus, who has called himself all manner of things, from the Son of Man, which was a title given to the Messiah in the prophetic writings, to the gate of the sheepfold, to the bread of life, to the living water, to the light of the world, all of these things he has called himself. But today, we focus on Jesus as the Good Shepherd. Today, of all days, we focus on Jesus as the one who cares for us, his sheep. Now, you may ask yourself, self, what in the world does riding on a donkey into Jerusalem have to do with Jesus as the Good Shepherd? Well, I'm glad you asked yourself that question, because I want to answer that question for you. You see, Jesus rode on a donkey to demonstrate his humility. Shepherds were some of the most humble people, not because they chose to be, but because of their position. Shepherds were the lowliest members on society's status scale. You remember the Christmas story? Jesus' birth was announced to the shepherds. Why? Because God had come to rescue everyone, from the most wealthy king to the humblest of shepherds. In fact, these shepherds were not allowed to testify in court because their testimony wasn't considered as valid. That was the situation that they found themselves in. Shepherds were often smelly and dirty, coarse individuals who were passed over and avoided when they were seen. They supplied lambs for sacrifice. So they did have an importance in that society, but they were not considered valuable to society at large. But Jesus here, in John chapter 10, where we're going to be today, Jesus calls himself the Good Shepherd. In attaching this name to himself, he demonstrates the humility that he also showed by riding into Jerusalem on that Sunday on a donkey. So let's read this passage from John 10, verses 7 through 18 together. And I'll ask you to stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. Now, we're going to read a little bit of what we read last week when we talked about Jesus being the gate of the sheep, because it coincides with what Jesus says here about him being the Good Shepherd. So let's read this together. Here we go. "Therefore, Jesus said again, 'Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason the Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Jesus' words here. Thank you for what we will learn from them. But Lord, more so, I thank you that Jesus is the good shepherd, that he laid down his life for us. Lord, may we learn what that means. May we not only learn what it means, but Lord, may we follow that example. I pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth would not be my own, but that they would be yours, and that you would use them in the power of the Holy Spirit to accomplish what you need to accomplish in each of our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I know that many of you have been to sporting events. I know several of you go to the football games during football season, and because I know you're part of the fans in the stands, and you guys get rowdy. You have the milk jugs filled with, I don't know if they're marbles or pennies or what they are, but they're loud. My goodness. If I go to the football game, I try to sit on the other end of the stands because you guys are really rowdy. But that's okay. You know, it's fun to go to a sporting event and get excited. You sit in the stand and you shout out an encouragement. But there are some parents, and I'm sure not any here, of course, but get a little over-involved in the goings-on of games. In fact, I was listening to the radio the other day, and a public service announcement, or a PSA as they're called in the biz, came on. And you know what it was about? It was some teenage kids talking about parents who get nasty at high school basketball, football games. It was about parents who criticize officials, shout out coaches, and or berate their own kids or other kids right from the stands. And I loved it because the ad called for parents to grow up and act like adults. No. I mean, it could be, I suppose, but the point that I want to make here is that most of us know what it's like to cheer for something that we're passionate about. A sports team, a concert that we go to, or even a politician at times, right? We can cheer for them. We see them, we react. The same was true of Jesus. Word of his miraculous deeds had spread all over Israel, and now here at the Passover, where Jesus was riding into Jerusalem, he was coming to celebrate Passover. And it was going to be epic. His disciples were excited. His disciples believed that Jesus was at this time, he was going to come into Jerusalem. He was going to set up his kingdom, that everything was going to be great because they had a different understanding of what Messiah was than what Messiah was actually supposed to be. This celebration of Passover was going to be epic, but not in the way that the disciples or even the crowd who was crying out Jesus' praises could ever dream. About a month earlier, Jesus was speaking to some Pharisees about who he was. They were arguing, he was telling them in essence that they were frauds, even though they had accused him of being a fraud, and that all they wanted to do was to steal the hearts of the people away from God the Father. They wanted people to follow them and not God. Even though they were saying, we speak on behalf of God, we are following God, you need to follow us. No, they were being frauds, and Jesus was calling them out on that. And as we just read in our scripture reading, Jesus goes on to tell them that he is the good shepherd who was there to call his sheep to him and that those who really belong to God would indeed follow Him. So let's look at what Jesus says here. Let's look at the one who says, I lay down my life for my sheep. I know who my sheep are. I will not lose any who the Father give me. Let's look at this passage in a little bit deeper context here, okay? So the first thing that we see, at least as I read this passage, we see the shepherd's commitment here. We see that the shepherd cares for the sheep. The shepherd cares about those who have committed their lives to him. Those who have put themselves under the care of Jesus, he is going to look after. Jesus put it this way, those who the Father has given me, I will not lose any of them. He looks after them. He makes sure that they have everything that they need. He says, look, the ones who come to me, who come in through the gate, they will be saved. They will come in. They will go out. They will find pasture. We talked about what that means last week, if you were with us. All these that the Father has given to Jesus, Jesus says, I care for the sheep. But not only does Jesus, the Good Shepherd, have a commitment to care for the sheep, but he also has a commitment to lead the sheep. Now, what's the difference between caring for and leading? There's a big difference. Look at what Jesus says. He says, I will take them in and out, and they will find pasture. I have come that they might have life and life to the full. The Good Shepherd is leading the sheep to where they need to go. Jesus teaches the sheep. He teaches the sheep what they need to know, how they need to live. He teaches them who God is, right? Through his teachings, through his parables, through all of those things, Jesus is teaching his disciples, he is teaching his sheep who God is. He corrects them, right? Jesus tells the parable of the one shepherd who has 100 sheep and one goes wandering off. He goes out and he finds that sheep. Now, here's the interesting thing about shepherds in that time. If a sheep continues to wander off, what does the shepherd do? He actually will break the leg of the sheep so he can't run away anymore. And the sheep learns that if I keep running away, I'm going to suffer something painful. And so Jesus corrects them. He rebukes them. He nurtures them. Jesus is all about leading his sheep to follow him where he is going to lead them. And friends, it's important for us to learn how to follow the shepherd. Because if we don't follow the shepherd, we wind up with one of the counterfeits, which we're going to see about a little bit here in a minute. But the shepherd cares for the sheep, he leads the sheep, and he lays down his life for the sheep. He's willing to die, yes, and we know this. We know that Jesus, at this point in his ministry, as he comes into Jerusalem, that he is preparing to go to the cross. This is what this week is all about. It's all about going to the cross and being the sacrifice for sin, the sacrifice for bringing right relationship with the people to God. But it's more than just him laying down his life to die. Philippians chapter 2 says what? May this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus our Lord, who, even though he was equal with God, did not consider that equality something to be held onto or to be grasped, but emptied himself, made himself nothing, taking on the form of a servant. Jesus laid his life down for us, not just in his death, but even in his life. Jesus sacrificed for us so that we might know who the Father is, so that he might teach us, so that he might be who we need him to be, so that we might know who the Father really is. What does this mean? Well, it means that Jesus served his sheep. Now, that's kind of a weird idea, isn't it? But think about this. If sheep are left to themselves, what happens to their wool? Gets matty and gross. It's why we shear sheep. When the wool gets to a certain length, we cut it off and then it grows back. The shepherd serves the sheep by tending to its hooves and its feet and its legs so it's able to get to where it needs to go. Jesus, as our good shepherd, he does these things for his disciples. He's trimming off those things in their lives that need to be let go of. And again, even to the point of his death, they still had a long way to go, but, you know, eventually they got there. And he, even in John chapter 13, goes to the point of what? Washing their feet. Doing the task of the lowest servant. This is who our good shepherd is. This is the commitment that the shepherd makes to his sheep. But the shepherd also has counterfeits. These are people who are not the shepherd, but yet they try to be the shepherd. Okay, so let's look at who the counterfeits are. First of all, Jesus mentions the hired hand. The hired hand, he says, what about the hired hand? The hired hand is not the shepherd. Friends, let me say that again. The hired hand is not the shepherd. He is relating this hired hand to the Pharisees at this point. He's saying, look, these Pharisees, they care nothing for the sheep. Because when the wolf comes, when the rubber meets the road, when things get difficult, when things get tough, the Pharisees are going to tuck tail and run and protect their own interest. But friends, I want you to understand that this could also relate to your pastor. Not that I would tuck tail and run, but whatever pastor you sit under, you need to understand that they are human beings. They are not the shepherd. They are not your Lord and Savior. And I know you're thankful for that. But friends, we mustn't put any human in the place of Jesus. And I think maybe sometimes we do that. But we need to be careful, okay, that we don't trust in the hired hand, because the hired hand is not Christ. It's a, and by counterfeit, I don't mean that necessarily in a negative way. I just mean it that it's not Jesus. Okay? But here's another counterfeit that Jesus mentions, and that's the wolf. This is the enemy. This is the destroyer. This is the accuser. This is the deceiver. This is the devil himself. This is the one who wants you to be absolutely ineffective and unuseful for Jesus. Unuseful, I don't know if that's a word, is it? Useless. Useless for Jesus. There we go. This is the one who looks at you and sees the image of God on your life and hates you for it, because he hates God. This is the one who would just as soon chew you up and spit you out as look at you. This is the one who hates everything about God, and guess what? You're one of those things. But he comes to us disguised as what, does the Bible say? An angel of light. And so the things that he offers us, they look really good. The things that he says, look, I'll take you to a nice green pasture. I'll take you to a place where the waters are cool. I'll do all that stuff for you. But guess what he's doing? He's setting you up for an ambush. And he's going to kill who God intended for you to be. So don't fall for it. But there's another counterfeit sometimes. And that's the sheep. Sometimes the sheep want to be the shepherd. Right? Sometimes the sheep say, I can do a better job at this than Jesus does. This is us. This is other Christians, and I'll put that in air quotes, Christians who want your money and your time and your talent and your resources, but they have no idea of the plan that God has for you. All of these things, if we allow our focus to get off of the Good Shepherd, they will trip us up. They will take us down the wrong path. They will destroy us. So we need to be careful of the counterfeits. And again, I'm not saying that counterfeit in the sense that they're evil, they're wrong, except, you know, devil is. But we need to be careful that we don't fall for the counterfeit, but that we follow the true Good Shepherd. Here's the good part. Okay, this is the shepherd's confidence. Look at what Jesus says here. Verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. He knows who his sheep are. He knows those who are his. If we are a part of His flock, the Good Shepherd knows who His sheep are. So the question then comes, does He know you? Does Jesus know who you are? Now, yes, He knows who you are, but what I'm saying is in the sense of as His sheep, does He know you as His sheep? Keep your finger in John 10 because we're going to come back. But I want you to look at something that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. This is a chilling passage of Scripture that I'm about to read to you. This is verses 21 through 23. I want you to notice what Jesus says here. He says this. This is near the end of the passage, near the end of the Sermon on the Mount, as it's written for us in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And verse 21 of chapter 7 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Friends, doesn't matter what you're doing or if you're even doing those things in Jesus' name. If Jesus doesn't know you, you are not His sheep. So I will ask the question again. Does He know you? He says, "I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." So the good shepherd's sheep also know Him. How do they know Him? They know Him by experience. They have placed their faith and trust in the good shepherd, and He has not let them down. They know Him because He is their Lord and their Master. He leads them, and they go where He says to go. Jesus says here, "I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen." That's speaking of us, and because He was talking to Jews here. But He says, "They will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." And then He begins talking about laying His life down and taking it up again, which is really the Easter story, which is next week. But here is Jesus saying, "Look, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." This speaks of relationship, folks. The reason that those who came to Christ and said, "Lord, Lord, didn't we do all this stuff in your name?" And He said, "I never knew you," is because they were doing the work, but there was no relationship attached to it. We can say that we know Jesus when really all we know is about Jesus. Because there's a big difference. We can read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation every year. We can look at it. We can even study it. We can even know what it means. But unless we are putting it into action, unless we are applying it to our lives, whether we are learning how to listen to the shepherd, to follow Him in obedience, to go where He tells us to go and to do what He wants us to do, then we do not know the shepherd. And guess what? The shepherd doesn't know us either, in that sense. Now, please don't misunderstand me. God knows you and God loves you. Whether you're a Christian or not, God knows and cares about you. So I want you to understand that. What we are talking about here is we are talking about Christians and people who call themselves Christians who are walking in disobedience to God because they are not spending time with Him. The good shepherd's sheep know Him because they have spent time with Him, because they listen to Him, because they've talked to Him, because they've walked in obedience to His commands. And so I want to challenge you today two things. First of all, do you know the shepherd, and does the shepherd know you? This goes back to what we talked about last week about having a relationship with Jesus. You know, it's not just about coming to church or giving of your offerings and tithes. It's not about saying hallelujah in Jesus' name and it's all going to burn and all those types of things that we say. It's not about knowing the lingo and the jargon. It's not about dressing in the right clothes, because clothes don't matter. It's not about being a member of the church. It's not about sitting in the right place. It's not about singing the right songs. It's not about reading the right things. It's not about listening to the right guy on the radio. It's not about any of that. It's about knowing Jesus. It's about knowing the shepherd. It's about walking with Him and talking with Him. It's about listening to Him. It's about having that relationship. Young people, let's say there was a girl you really liked and you wanted to have a relationship with her. And you got on Facebook and you found out all about things that she did and all, you know, stalker status, yes. But you're doing all this, you're checking it out, you're looking at the pictures that she posts, and you get to know her in that way. Let me ask you a question. Do you know that girl? No! We live in a society that thinks that everything that's online is who people are. No! Look at the celebrities. You think they're all happy and everything all the time? No! We can look and see who people are and know about them, but in order to know them, it takes time spent with that person, talking to them, getting to know them. And sometimes we even get married to a person and we think we know all about them, but we really don't. Because the truth of the matter is that most of us will hide certain aspects of our personality from the person that we're dating so that they will actually stay with us.
Amen.
But then once we're married, all of that kind of goes away because you're together now. And friends, I want you to know, as your pastor, when I got married to my wife, there were a lot of things about me that she didn't know about and that she probably would have changed her mind had she known. I'm speaking maybe out of turn, but we learn things about people the more time we actually spend with them. And this is what it means to truly know the shepherd. And so, do you know the shepherd? Have you given your life to Him? Have you said to Him, I am a sinner, but I believe that Jesus' death is payment enough for my sins, and I want to commit my life to getting to know that shepherd, to getting to know who He is, so that I can know Him and that He will know me when that day comes. If you have never done that and you would like to, I want you to come and talk to me afterwards. Okay? Because I want to help you walk in those next steps. Because if you are here and you're saying, look, I admit my sin, I believe that Jesus is who He claimed to be, and I want to be a Christian. Look, I think that you have done what you need to do to have a relationship with God. You just need to take those next steps, and I would love to help you take those next steps. But for those of you who do know the shepherd, for those of you whom the shepherd knows, I want to challenge you in this. Will you follow the shepherd? Now look, this is kind of one of those telltale questions. How you answer it is going to tell me a lot about whether or not you truly know the shepherd. Because if you say, yeah, I know the shepherd, and the shepherd knows me, but I don't want to follow Him because He's going to ask me to give up this or give up that or send me to a Ouagadougou or Bujumbura, and I don't want to go to those places because I don't even know where they are on the map, let alone the crazy kind of people who might live there. But friends, if we know the shepherd, we know that the shepherd is going to lead us to the places that we need to be. If the shepherd is leading us to break off a relationship that's not what it needs to be, then we need to say, okay, God, I will do that. If God is telling us that we need to quit our job and go do something else, if God is calling us into ministry, if God is calling on us to talk to this person or that person, it might be something simple as saying something to a family member who you know is doing something they shouldn't be doing. I don't know. The shepherd is going to lead you in your circumstance. But will you follow the shepherd? Will you listen to Him? Will you do what He asks you to do? And look, it's not one of those things where you say, okay, tell me what you want me to do, and then I'll decide if I'll follow it. It's not how it works. The shepherd says, I want you to follow me. I want you to be my sheep. I want you to do the things that I'm going to tell you to do. And this is kind of akin to having a blank contract, signing your name on the bottom, and let Jesus just fill in the details as you go. That's kind of a dangerous business practice, isn't it? Because what can happen is that whoever holds the contract and that your name is on, they can fill in, well, you need to give me 50% of your income. You need to, whatever. They can take advantage of that. But friends, let me tell you something. When we sign our name on a contract with Jesus, He will never, ever, ever, ever take advantage of you. Because the things that He is going to ask you to do, while they may be difficult, while they may be tough, while you may not really want to do them in your heart of hearts, they are going to be for your best. Because God has promised that all things work together for the good of those who love Him. So if God asks you to give up this or that or the other thing, know beyond the shadow of a doubt that God has something better in mind for you. You might not see it this side of heaven, but the question remains, will you follow the shepherd? Again, this is a question that says, I'm going to follow Him no matter where He leads. I'm going to do what He asks me to do no matter what. I'm going to admit to you, it's a scary proposition. It's a scary thing to say, I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do regardless of what it is. Because you might wind up in a town like Aledo serving as a senior pastor to some of the greatest people I've ever known. It's not meant to butter you up, but thanks anyway. Folks, God's going to lead you to places that you won't want to go at first. But when you get there, and when you continue to trust the shepherd to lead you, you won't want to be anywhere else. Heavenly Father, thank You for who You are. Thank You for what You've done for us. Thank You for Jesus and for His love for us and the way in which He leads us and guides us. Thank You for all of those things. But Lord, I want to thank You for being our good shepherd. I want to thank You for teaching us how to not only to see You laying Your life down for us, but Lord, how we can lay our lives down for each other. Pray that we would follow You wherever You lead us. Lord, it's not an easy thing to say, Lord, wherever You lead, I'll follow. But Lord, I know that in my heart of hearts that we have this promise that no matter what comes into our lives, You will use it, Lord, for the good, for our best, because You have promised to do that. And so, Lord, I pray for each one here. Lord, if there's one here who doesn't know You, Lord, may today be the day that they admit their sin and believe in You and commit their life to You. And Lord, for those of us who have done that, Lord, may we sign our name on the dotted line to say, God, whatever You ask me to do, I will do it. Wherever You send me, I will go. Whatever You want me to say, I will say. Even if it means that I lose my life here and now, I will pick it up again when I am with You in heaven. Lord, I will follow You wherever You lead. May we all say that for Your honor and for Your glory. Amen.